From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. It's been a great show so far, but right now it is the 11 o'clock hour. And in this hour at 11:47, you will take your text, your feedback, and Ursula's words to live by. And then at 11:30, we'll be having a conversation possibly about an assisted living situation that isn't allowing visitors. But right now, let's get the headlines.
In our top story this morning, a Bothell police officer was killed. Another one was injured after a traffic stop last night turned into a brief car chase and then a shooting.
I've worked here for over 25 years. We have never had an officer shot. This would be some uncharted territory for us. And again, it's going to be a rough couple of days. As you can imagine, this is the most horrific thing police officers can deal with.
Police Captain Mike Johnson says after an hours-long manhunt in Bothell, that suspect was caught hiding out on a roof. We don't know the identity of the officers killed. We also don't know, the exact reason for that traffic stop, although there are reports that the suspect had been involved in a hit-and-run after police tried to stop him.
My heart, soul, my prayers go out to the family of that fallen officer. My prayers go out to the Bothell Police Department. That's all I got, Ursula. I've said enough on this topic. I just want to be really clear that my prayers go out to them, and I really, really hate that this happened.
And I know that you're being very clear and very careful, because right now, already all over social media, you see comments that, again, end up pitting people against each other. And what we have is extreme violence. We have officers being shot. We have people being shot. It needs to end. And what does not help is hateful rhetoric from whomever. And what does not help is when you lose your sense of humanity. And, you know, we can't lump everything together. You know, in this particular case, we don't know many details about what happened. But what happened is horrific. And when we talk about words mattering, when words matter, you know, especially in cases like right now, we need to be prudent and careful. Well, the woman who runs the Office of Law Enforcement Oversight is now facing another complaint about her own behavior, even as the King County Council considers reappointing her. Deputy Jesse Herrera claims that he witnessed Olio Director Deborah Jacobs make an inappropriate comment about the size of a dead man's private parts during an autopsy. She acknowledges making the comment and has offered to apologize, but Herrera tells KTTH the investigation wasn't taken seriously.
There was no investigation. This was clearly a slap in the hand, and it was thrown under the carpet, and that was the end of that.
The county council is investigating other complaints involving Jacobs, including one case where she allegedly referred to a black-owned business as a ghetto.
Well, accountability has been the conversation that you and I, we try to have on the show. We talked about accountability for the future, more accountability for SPD and for more police agencies across the country. And I do believe, and I feel encouraged, that we are going to see more accountability with police officers. We're going to see more bad cops being brought to the table and actually fired and losing their job. I'm encouraged by that because of the climate in which we're going through, and I think it's going to continue staying that way, Ursula.
Well, and this is the person who investigates complaints against law enforcement, so accountability needs to apply to her as well. Now, her term is up in 2021. Mm-hmm. She has been dogged by other complaints that she allegedly hires friends as consultants instead of qualified candidates. And I know that our sister station, KTTH, was reporting that she recently butted heads with the King County Sheriff herself on the department's use of force policy, which Jacobs described as mostly subjective, which doesn't give the public a whole lot of confidence. And the sheriff had called that intentional and reckless misrepresentation, pointing out that it was Jacobs' office that helped redraft it. So all that said, if she is up for, I mean, we have to have as much transparency as possible. we are dealing with a severe erosion of trust. And if the person who's supposed to be investing complaints about law enforcement also is, you know, having these issues come up. Now, granted, she is in a position where she would be criticized because she has to make some difficult decisions. Mm-hmm. But I would hope before she is given another term that these investigations are taken very seriously.
I would just like to point out that you do have to consider when the calls come from inside the house, and in this case, this would be officers within the departments complaining of a hostile work environment due to this woman's behavior. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely investigate what happened and what's going on in that department. But if it's the cops complaining about their own oversight and they're the ones drawing attention to this, just look at the motive and consider that when looking at this case.
Well, that's my very point. I mean, so I think she's going to be facing a lot of complaints anyway because of the nature of her job. So not everything should be given equal weight. But certainly if there are, you know, enough complaints, you can't ignore it. I mean, and if someone makes a complaint and you say you're going to investigate it, it needs to be investigated.
I have a complaint.
Plain and simple.
What's that? Complaint. Why didn't you tell me that I started off the 11 o'clock hour saying happy Wednesday?
Oh, I wish it was.
I know.
We just lost a day.
You guys just let that go, huh?
I didn't notice because I was trying to, you know, when I say I want to, I was actually trying to get information from our newsroom about whether there was anything new in our, so that I could have the very freshest information for our headlines. So I didn't notice. Wednesday. Okay, it's Tuesday. Sorry.
One more complaint before we get to the next headline. The people that text me on the text line, they were new texters. I had never seen their numbers before. So their introduction to me was saying, hey, G, it's Tuesday, not Wednesday. Now, the part of the real complaint I have are the people that always text in and tell me how terrible I am. They didn't even take that chance to take that shot at me. So it's just weird. New people called me to tell me I messed up. And the old folks, they didn't say, they just left it alone.
So okay, you have some new fans.
I got some new fans.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. So California's two largest public school districts are going to be online only this fall. They've already decided that. School administrators say they are unwilling to risk crowding students back into the classrooms until the virus is fully under control. So imagine this. We're talking L.A. and San Diego. They enroll more than 825,000 students, and they are actually the largest area in the country to abandon plans for even a partial physical return to classrooms when they reopen in August.
Are you going to read the next part of it? Go ahead, read the next part. I'll comment.
So there they are, LA and San Diego. They've already said, nope, we're not even going to try. But in Orange County, which happens to be a little more conservative, the Board of Education is telling schools that, you know what, social distancing is not necessary for students. And they even go further, masks could be harmful. So they have now approved reopening without making either one necessary.
This isn't deja vu? Didn't this same thing happen with Florida? When New York was going through their problems and all of the cases that were going on in New York, you had Florida governor talking about what they were going to do. And then you had Arizona talking about what they were going to do and Texas talking about what they're going to do. Now, here we are months later, and now Florida, Arizona, and Texas is going through what they're going through. When are we as a nation going to come together to fight this pandemic? That's my question. And then my next question is for you, Ursula. When you hear that San Diego and L.A., 825 students, I have already declared that they're going to have online classes and not have in-person classes. What's your opinion on school now? Is it starting to waver and change a little bit starting in September and October, my friend?
I have said the same thing over and over again. So 825,000 there, I mean, at least they know now what exactly is going to happen. Are they happy? Because I know that there are many parents who say, you know what? There are still those people who don't believe that this is as big of a problem as you and I are making it, apparently. Yeah. And so they want their kids to go to school. I have seen posts where parents are saying, I want my kids to go to school and I'm not going to tell them to wear a mask. Or I'm just I am astounded. And they basically blame the media and Democrats for causing fear.
You missed one. Those on the left.
Okay, well, no, I said Democrats.
No, I know. I know. But I also wanted to say that, too.
Yeah.
It just sounds good.
Yeah, hang on. So I want, yeah, because Chef's, okay, go ahead, Chef. You want to drop in?
You know, I'm actually going to bring up something that you mentioned to me. I think tomorrow we should ask parents and teachers to call and tell us, are you sending your kids to school?
Yes.
Are you worried about it? Are you worried about being in the classroom? How's childcare going to impact you?
Ooh.
Let's do that.
Yeah, I would love that. Yeah.
What time are we doing that, Chef?
Let's do that at 10 o'clock tomorrow.
That's appointment only radio, y'all, where we actually get to sit back and hear from parents and teachers. Teachers probably won't want to tell what school you teach at, so I don't want you to get in trouble. But boy, I want to hear from y'all.
Yeah, and I told you I made my case. I'm still trying to make my case for, in the event that we do go all online, call it, you know, as far as college.
What's your case?
I just feel, well, I've just said I want my son to be able to take and continue to get credits and not lose his place in the business school, but I don't want to pay out-of-state tuition for him being at home.
Right.
And I think that the schools need to make accommodations. Okay, right. But that said, I think it's a lot easier for college versus grade school, especially.
I agree.
Middle school and high school.
Has your son been doing any extra credit this summer?
Yeah, I know what you're trying to get at. And
No, what are you?
He doesn't need to do extra credit. You're just trying to throw out some dirt. You're too much. Okay, but in reality, okay, so now let's talk about what's happening as far as teachers in Texas. Now, they have taken on a grim assignment as they face going back to school while COVID cases are still skyrocketing.
They are writing wills, getting medical power of attorney established, and taking out extra life insurance as they prepare for the start of the school year, with the state vowing to have in-person classes. The state teachers union says many teachers, staff, and their family members have underlying health conditions that would place them at severe risk of getting coronavirus. Nationwide, about a third of teachers are 50 or older. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Wow.
You're changing your wills? Or taking out your will?
You need to do it anyway.
But
You think I should put a will on my son?
I think you should make sure that you have a will.
Well, yeah. I guess I just got a notice. I told you about the email I got from Ohio State.
Tell us what it said.
This afternoon, the university is going to send a release regarding our resuming of workouts on Wednesday. So tomorrow, they're going to be back open for business, the facility. As if you guys didn't know, Ohio State had to close down their football facility because there's a few of their football players got COVID. So they closed it down after workouts on Tuesday. They kept it closed down, and now it's going to resume back on Wednesday. And basically, they're talking about that because they tested again yesterday. My son was negative, and there was a lot of negative tests. So they obviously did very well. So now they're talking about moving forward. They will be testing routinely. So far, since my son has been back since the first week in June, he has been tested 4 times.
Wow.
He's been tested 4 times since he's been back in June. The reason why I bring that point up is I want to just say this, and I want to be clear. These football programs have the resources to be able to give out this information and have this information. Do elementary schools, middle schools, junior high, and high schools across the country have the same resources? No, they don't. 4 times he's been tested.
Yeah. Well, and you asked if I have changed my mind about whether schools are going to be open for in-person classes. As of right now, and we've heard from the state superintendent, there's going to be, you know, attempts to make as many students be able to have that kind of education as possible. But again, it's all going to depend on what happens here and what we do. I mean, we're not like Texas or Florida or Arizona, but our cases are going up. 1,100 new COVID cases just yesterday, which is a record high one-day count.
I do want to give a compliment to the state of Washington. No, we ain't perfect. Ain't nobody's family perfect. And we're a Washington family. We don't do things the perfect way. But I want to tell you, we do things better than a lot of other states. Because, again, Someone I know is a firefighter down in Dallas. He's telling me it is really bad. He's like, people just act like that there is no coronavirus going on. At least when I walk outside and I'm out in public here in the state of Washington, at least I can tell there is something going on. I can tell that there is a public health crisis that's going on. Some other states can't say the same. Some people are really making this a political issue and saying, I'm going to do whatever. At least a lot of folks, you guys might text us and say we're sheep for wearing a mask. That's fine. At least some of you guys are at least wearing the mask while still grumbling about it at the same time. I respect you for that.
But again, and you know the things that work. I mean, if you are actively trying to convince people that masks are actually dangerous, I mean, you are one of the reasons why there could be a chance that all of us end up having to, you know, go back to our bunkers and stay home. Because there are still too many people who are refusing to do what the vast majority of scientists say does work.
Right.
Right? And so now, you know, we've got the state's total number of deaths up to nearly 1,400. As far as these updated numbers, which many people refuse to believe, but I'm going to continue giving what we know. About 3.5% of people diagnosed here in the state of Washington have died from COVID. Okay, I'm going to give you one last one. Late on Friday night, President Trump commuted the sentence of his longtime friend, Roger Stone, who was convicted of lying under oath to Congress in the investigation into Russian election meddling. So last night, Stone was on Fox News, and he says people are mischaracterizing comments that he made about the deal that the prosecution had offered him.
People said, you see, Stone had the goods on Trump, and he traded his silence for a commutation. That is patently false. I never said that. I never implied that. What I said has been consistent, that I would not lie against my friend of 40 years so they could use it for impeachment.
So he was supposed to report to a federal prison in Georgia today to serve his more than 3 years in prison.
You know what I said? I sent the tweet out and said, this ain't even news. My man, Roger Stone, said, I'm not telling on my friend. I'm keeping quiet. Go ahead, throw whatever book you want to throw at me. I'll go to jail, whatever the case might be. And my partner, my friend of 40 years, is going to get me out of here. And that's exactly what happened. Now, there's nobody that hears that news and that are shocked by that. Are you shocked by it, Ursula?
No, but I will say that there were even some Republicans who said this is not right. But keep in mind that this was announced on Friday night.
Friday night dump.
And the other thing is, Do you believe anything that Roger Stone says? I mean, something about that guy. It's very hard to believe anything that he says.
Which one you believe more, he or the president?
I'll go with the president.
Chef?
Neither.
Oh, you can't. Hey, you can't verify people.
I'm not taking
both
a
sides.
False choice like that.
All right.
Okay. Don't be asking that, and then you don't answer.
I actually believe Roger Stone more than I do President Trump. Yeah, I'll take Stone because if they're at least Stone. Because I'll say this: if the roles would have been reversed, I think President Trump dimes Roger Stone out and keeps out of jail. At least Roger Stone is like, yes, this is my guy. I am riding with him. So, yeah, I'll take Roger Stone, tell the truth, more than President Trump. All right. Now I need to go take a shower. Coming up at 11:47, we take your text, feedback, and words to live by. And Ursula, are we still doing it the same thing at 11:33?
Yes, we are.
Okay. We are going to be having a conversation next. It's Gene Ursula.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us on the G and Ursula Show on this Tuesday morning. If G made you excited thinking it's already Wednesday, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news. This segment of the show is brought to you, though, by your local Carrier heating and air conditioning dealers.
I just want to warn you.
Yeah?
I just want to warn
you. I know,
everybody.
I'm worried.
This segment, if I get in trouble for this segment, I'm blaming you and Chef. That's all I got to say.
Okay. No, that's not okay. But okay, I just want to remind everybody, 50 minutes from now, we'll wrap up the show with texts and feedback and, of course, words to live by. But The reason you're doing that warning is because we are going to talk about what we're doing more of and less of during the pandemic. And the reason that question comes up, because there's a new survey out that says we're still drinking coffee, but not like we did before COVID.
The Agriculture Department predicts global coffee consumption will fall this year for the first time in almost a decade. Blame the pandemic, says one researcher, who figures more than 95% of the out-of-home coffee market was, or still is, closed, from Starbucks to small corner stores. At-home brewing has picked up with more people working from home and stocking up, but not enough to offset the downturn at cafes and restaurants, which account for about a quarter of all coffee demand. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
I can say I know for a fact that you are drinking more coffee.
I'm drinking more coffee, Ursula.
But apparently there's more that you're doing that you warned me that,
well,
I should be worried.
Because I don't know if I've... Because I got to tell the truth. And because I have to tell the truth, it doesn't... I mean, as long as I'm covered with how I say it, I just want to say it. So things that I'm doing more of and less of. Things that I'm doing more of during this pandemic is crying.
Mm-hmm.
I've cried more times during this pandemic than I think I've cried in the last 20 years. That's, and I'm being very serious.
I know that for a fact. And it's not just the pandemic, though, but everything that has happened during this pandemic.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Yeah. Everything. So that's what I'm doing more of. Less of? Well, less sex, Ursula. And my mind is just bad, right? And so that's been on my mind. It hasn't been on my mind. And just there's so much stress that has been going on. So more of the crying and less of the sex.
I think one might be related to the other.
I've just fallen off my seat.
I mean, okay, I'm going to tell the truth.
Yeah, I know. You're keeping it real. This is not normally the talk that we would have on Cairo Radio.
You know what I mean? We have commercials that talk about, you know?
Yeah. Okay. In all honesty, I appreciate your transparency. Okay. And the reason I say that is because maybe you'll help people realize, hey, if it's happening to you, it's hard to feel romantic right now. The level of stress is ridiculous. I'll tell you what I'm doing more of. I'm taking more midday naps, and then that keeps me up all night. And then I'm getting really crummy sleep at night, 5 million things racing through my mind, and then I need a nap. I mean, I'm in a bad cycle right now. And guess what? The other thing is I'm eating way too much sugar, and I have got to do some kind of detox of the sugar.
Right. I got mad the other day. I watch a show. It's on Showtime called The Shot. By the way, it's my favorite show on TV. It actually takes place south side of Chicago, where I'm from. So I just feel right at home when I'm watching it. But anyways, there was a scene in there that made me mad because I was watching it with Lillian, and the guy was having... He had a romantic night. He had strawberries and chocolate-covered strawberries and everything, and he had all the candles lit. And I was thinking to myself, hey, man, you're really embarrassing us out here, man. So
I would hate to be dating. I mean, like, trying to start dating right now. First of all, that would be very, very challenging. But I know people are doing it.
Who's got chocolate-covered strawberries on their mind right now with everything going on in this world? I just don't have that on my mind. Chocolate-covered strawberries, candles, flowers, rose petals all over. I just don't have that right now in my DNA. I just can't think that way.
I know, but as long as we're talking about this, do you have to have all that to be romantic or to be sexually attractive to your partner? Because I don't think that you do. I think it can be even so much as something that's very attractive is if someone shows that they really care and they want to listen and they appreciate you and give you a compliment and make you feel special. I mean, those are the kinds of things that even that is hard right now during COVID. I hate to say it.
Ladies, is this, what about this? What about your man going to the butcher? Going to pick out a beautiful beef brisket, coming back, seasoning it, throwing that bad boy on a Traeger, smoking it for 12 hours, and then letting it sit for about an hour, and then you watching your man cut that brisket, and you see the juices flavoring all over, and when you go to taste it, it's good.
Wait, was that for you or for her?
It's for her.
Oh, okay.
Remember, G's eating tofu.
I don't even eat meat. I haven't eaten meat in 11, 12
years.
So here's my question. Is that sexy?
Yes.
Undeniably, yes.
Yeah.
I could listen to you talk about food a lot.
I know.
When we talked to the owner of the Jerk Shack, man, G, you had it on fire. I was like, I need to eat that food.
Chef, what are you doing more of?
Complaining, generally. I would say complaining and sleep. Yeah. Less sleep, more complaining. But I'm trying to spend more time with my family, too.
Yeah, and that is the best part of the
pandemic. And I'm trying to spend less time on my phone. Because it's like the phone is just the mind killer. As soon as I open up one of the social media apps, it's just a wormhole of negativity. And I can't escape from it, so I just got to unleash.
He brings up a great point, G. I think probably the most romantic thing that you could do for Lillian is to keep your phone at home and go somewhere.
I did that on Sunday.
There you go. I know. I had a hard time reaching you.
Yeah, I did that on Sunday. I left my phone.
Good for you. See, steps. Baby steps.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, I would love to hear from others. If are we alone in this? Text us at 98973, please.
See, that's the thing. Well, hold on. See, that's the thing about the G and Ursa listeners. None of them are texting in saying, yeah, G, I feel your pain. Everybody's like, yo, G, you got low T. Yo, G, here's this. Here's try this and try that. You know, G and Ursa listeners, sometimes you guys ain't right. Sometimes you just got to text in and say, G, I feel you. G, I'm with you. Where is the support? Where is the love? Somebody just said to eat this and eat that.
Oh, there's the love. There's the love.
And I'm actually writing those things down. Coming up next, we take your feedback, your text, and Ursula's words to live by. G and Ursula. It is the G and Ursula Show. It's now time for your text, feedback, and words to live by. If you missed the 11:33 segment, I got to tell you, make sure you download the podcast after the show, however you listen to podcasts, and you want to listen to that. This is where I confess something, and people kind of are starting to trickle in and admit and agree with it. So, Ursula.
Yeah. Well, now, yeah, okay, yeah. Go back to the podcast, but yeah, you're not alone. Okay.
I'm not alone.
No,
I'm telling you.
No,
I'm not alone.
You're not. Okay. Our interview with Chief Carmen Best. So a lot of people weighed in on that. 206. Chief Best deserves a Nobel Peace Prize for closing down shop without any violence.
206 says police overtime practice is fraud. In the private sector, we get limited to how much overtime we can work. Don't tell me cops have to work that much overtime. Emphasis patrols and special events are not the cause.
And just to add on to that, we will be following up. What I do appreciate is that Chief Best is willing to come on the show, and we will ask about that because, you know, we had talked about some of those officers who were making $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 with one patrol officer, and a lot of that was overtime. So we will continue to ask those questions about now, how they're going to reform and how they're going to make these cuts. 425 says it's pretty obvious the cops disobeyed their command and left. It's the reason why the chief and the mayor won't give a clear answer. They're protecting their officers.
Should the death penalty be abolished? 831 says it's way more expensive for taxpayers to send a prisoner to death row than it is to put them in prison for life.
That is true. 253 says, thanks for being real, G. I'll tell you right now, there has to be a consequence, and getting rid of the death penalty does not make sense to me either.
206 says, to me, the death penalty isn't about justice, it's about revenge. And I sent that person a text back and I told them, fair point.
The violence in our community the past 24 hours, which has just been awful and heartbreaking. Wes in Puyallup says, guns are not the problem, bad people with guns are the problem.
425 says the problem isn't guns. It's the system that keeps letting people back out on the streets time after time.
As far as the Starbucks barista who got $100,000 in tips after a woman shamed him for asking her to wear a mask, 253 says, if we started a GoFundMe tip jar for Chef, he would lose money.
right about that.
36. Who has access to tests for COVID-19? 360 says, I work for a lab that tests for COVID-19. What is frustrating is seeing all of the athletes get tested and get results next day and slow down the labs. Priority needs to go to the doctor's offices, not the athletes.
What do you think about that?
That's a great point. And it goes further along the line where the rich doesn't need to get priority over the poor. This is a clear example of that. I agree. The fact that my son has been tested 4 times in 1 month. How many times have you been tested, Ursula?
None.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah. Okay, we got to have time for some of these texts. What are you doing more or less of during the pandemic? G admitted it's sex. He's having. And so 425 says, G, you got low T? I think you got some people on the radio who can help you out.
253, G, can you talk more about brisket?
I know. If you could talk to Lillian with that passion that you had talking about brisket, I think he'd be in good shape.
You think so?
Okay, wait. 425 says, sex? Heck, I'm backed up like a taillight. Beep, beep.
Wait a minute. 425 says, laugh out loud, G, my wife woke up at 5 this morning and put a brisket on. Yo.
He's having a good day.
That's sexy. That's sexy.
Okay, one more. I wanted to say that our listener, Scott, says, I don't think G got my hopes of it being up by being Wednesday. I just took him as a croc-wearing time traveler.
Oh,
may the force be with you.
Thanks, Scott. Ursula, let's get to your words to live by.
And Andrew comes in for the kill. Okay. Happiness is letting go of what you think your life is supposed to look like. And I just want to just tell everybody, I hope you can enjoy the sunshine today.
Good show, Ursula.
Thank you. It was a good show. And I'm heartbroken, but I'm also looking at what good there is out there in the community.
Chef.
Happy Wednesday, everybody.
You watching your man cut that brisket, and you see the juices flavoring all over, and when you go to taste it,
Now we're all in the mood.
You're in the mood for some brisket. Andrew?
Use this free time you have to improve yourself and improve the relationships around you.
I love it. Thank you.
Wow, Andrew. Thank you. We appreciate all of you guys for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Appreciate you. Love you for that. Be good.